Please take your Bibles today and open up with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. As we continue our study of the church constitution and the biblical requirements for church leadership, we are working through the biblical requirements for the pastor. And today we are going to finish the biblical requirements for the pastor here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, when you found the text and you're able, please stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word. Look with me here at 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, left being puffed up with pride, he falls into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word. I pray for anyone who's listening. I pray, Lord Jesus, that as they listen, I pray that their hearts would be open and that you would help through the Holy Spirit to guide them through your word so that they can better understand what this text is all about. I pray, Lord, that you would change us to be more in your image. Lord, help us to understand you more. And help us to live by your word. Thank you for this time again that we have today. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now last week we finished verse 3. So let's begin here in verses 4 and 5 because they are linked. Verse 4 begins, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? So one who rules his house well, or one who manages his house well, your Bible might say, is directly connected to having his children in submission with all reverence. Now, Paul is providing us here with a really solid principle for leadership. Anyone who is in a position of leadership over other people, if they cannot rule or manage their own homes with their wife and children, then they will not be able to manage people in the office any better. Now, this is especially important for the pastor and also the Christian. Now, for the Christian, their life outside of the church and in their home should be the same as it is inside of the church. They should not act differently. They should not dress differently or have different standards. There should be a common lifestyle while they exist as part of the family of Christ. Now, for those who have children, what happens when you have two separate ways of acting or living is that it confuses the children. Parents who make it okay to live different ways are teaching their children that it is okay to say one thing and do something different. Now, for the children, this can cause trust issues. It can cause problems with acting out, problems with authority, and even problems with obedience. Now, for the pastor, his life cannot be different. It must be the same. In life, he will need to learn how to balance his time for the right priorities. Now, pastors are passionate about their ministry, and they are often pulled and stretched across all kinds of needs in their church. Now, a good pastor is going to learn to set aside time for his family and set aside time for his church family, but not combine the two together. Not make a way to say, well, you know, I need to spend time with my family, so I'll just bring them out to the church, and while I work on church things, we can still do it together as a family. No, there's got to be a split between those two things. Now, as a pastor's kid, I knew of other pastors' kids, and I will tell you a common problem with pastors is managing their time between their family and their responsibilities in the church. Now, most pastors want to give their all in their ministry. They are passionate about helping people grow closer to the Lord, and that is a great thing. The problem becomes when the pastor is spending the majority of his time in his ministry and only leaves a small space left for his family. And when this happens, the children especially see that dad loves the people at church more than he loves his family at home. It can destroy a family. And it can also hurt and destroy a ministry. I've seen and heard of many different pastors and men in the ministry that have needed to step away from their ministry for a time, typically 6 months to a year or longer, in order to help their family first. And just to clarify, the issues are not always just with children. A pastor's relationship with his wife will suffer if he makes his church ministry more important than spending time together with his wife. Now, this is like the workaholics who spend too much time at the office and not enough time with their family. Regardless of what you do for your vocation, you still need to make sure that you're setting aside time for your family and not making another priority more important. Now, for the pastor, you will get a glimpse of what his church will look like by how he leads and manages his home. If his family act out, if they bicker, if they gossip, if they fight, if they show him little respect, you can expect to see a similar response in his church. Well, let's move on to verse 6. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Not a novice means not a new Christian. There should be some time for a new convert to learn and grow before taking on a ministry. How much time is dependent on how quickly they grow spiritually, but I would suggest a few years at least. I know of men who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior, went right into Bible college for 3 to 4 years, then right into a pastor position. I would encourage some time to grow and be discipled by other seasoned Christians, and then just pray about it and follow as the Lord leads. Now, the problem with a newer Christian jumping into a pastor position or even a ministry leadership position right away is that Satan is really good with helping young believers get puffed up with pride and then watch them fall. Young believers need time to be discipled and then shown through application of other Christians how to be godly and how to fight back against different sins. A Christian, find other mature Christians to help you grow, not old Christians. There are many old Christians that don't know how to live according to the scriptures. Look for those who live by the word of God and those people who point you to the Bible when you have questions in life, because those are seasoned or mature Christians. Job chapter 32 and verse 9 says, great men, as in older men, are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. That's why it's important for us to seek out mature and seasoned Christians to fall back to for support. Older Christians will not know what the Bible has to say. They will give you opinions. They will give you your thoughts. But they won't give you what the Bible has to say about the situation. Christian, find mature Christians as your leaders and for those to help you in life. Well, let's look at verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, a pastor needs to have a good testimony outside of the church, amongst his neighbors, with his bill collectors, on his social media profile, any of those that see him outside of the church. Now, again, this connects with having a singular lifestyle. A good pastor will have a good rapport with those inside of the church and outside of the church, and will always be working on being godly. Now, sometimes Christians, including a pastor, will receive unfavorable mentions from people simply because they shared the scripture and someone didn't like that, or they were trying to share the Bible. Now, I'll tell you, I have had the door slammed in my face more times by Catholics who claim Christianity than I have by people who were not religious at all. Now, sometimes even when you say things like, I will pray for you, that seems like it's become a tagline that gets people frustrated or mad because they don't believe that you're actually going to pray for them, because there's so many people that say, yeah, I'll pray for you, but nothing ever happens by it. And sometimes people are just going to respond and in a negative manner. Sometimes you're just going to respond and not like you because of what the Bible has to say, not necessarily because of what you're saying, but they don't like what the Bible has to say about their circumstance. They don't like the idea that even sometimes that you're praying for them. They don't want to be encouraged by prayer. They look at it as something of hostility. And it's always sad when people respond negative to someone else who is trying to shepherd them with the Bible. There is nothing to be done in that case but to pray for them and let the Holy Spirit lead them to the truth. Now, again, if the pastor does not have a good testimony, Satan can use the pastor's reputation to both hurt the pastor, but also to damage or destroy his ministry. Now, as we've said before, a pastor must be a man of integrity. I'm going to say that one more time. It's so vitally important. A pastor must be a man of integrity. I want to consider another verse connected to the pastor here. When we studied the biblical requirements of the elder, we were in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And within that text, Paul gives the responsibility to the elders in Crete to be overseers as well. And here in verse 9, we get a really good understanding as to the final and very important role and requirement of the pastor. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, it says here, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Now, this isn't just fighting back against false teachers, but this is holding to the word of God and teaching and knowing, not just teaching, but knowing what you are teaching. Now, a pastor is called to be a man of his word and also to be a man of God's word. A pastor is to teach the Bible and is expected to know what he is teaching. The study of the Bible is vitally important to the pastor, and his ability to clearly instruct it to his congregation is equally important. Now, we have talked about this before, but there are other preachers and such in the world and false teachers that have come out and said, you know, I realize I was wrong about something, but I'm not going to apologize for it because I didn't realize what the Bible had to say about it. And we need to be careful with those who are teaching like that, because they're saying, I didn't know what I was really teaching. I didn't know what the Bible had to say about what it was that I was teaching. Because pastors are required not just to teach, but to know what they are teaching. And one last passage to consider connected here to integrity is Ephesians chapter 4. And we recently studied this text as we were considering what the purpose of our spiritual gifts are, but I want us to consider one other thought here in this text. In verses 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul says, he's speaking here of Jesus Christ, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, pastors are to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the purpose of edifying the body of Christ. That means that my work here is to basically get you ready to serve God through his ministry. The whole point of my teaching and leading is not for you to just learn and sit on your learning. It is for you to grow and to get prepared to be used by God in the ministry of the church. Now think about that today. How are you fulfilling your ministry role in God's church? And you might say, I'm not ready, and that's possible, but when will you be ready? And how will you get there? You may be more ready than you think. God wants to use his people to accomplish his will. Don't waste your abilities by sitting on them. As we finish off our study of the biblical requirements of church leadership, let's consider together the roles and duties of the pastor. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. We have a list in our church constitution of the expectations of the pastor, as we see throughout Scripture, and those are what I will be touching on today. Now, we see here that the pastor is to be the spiritual leader of the church. He is to be a shepherd helping to guide the flock towards Christ. He and his family are supposed to set the spiritual example for the rest of the church. Now, along with shepherding, the pastor is to manage and direct his ministry in all spiritual matters. He is to guard the church from false doctrine and even divisive elements, whether they be from a false teacher or an opportunity that should be dismissed. The pastor is on guard as a good shepherd watches for wolves among the flock of sheep. Now the pastor is to guide, to counsel, and to admonish the congregation in the will of God through all matters, including moral, doctrinal, and practical matters, always using the Bible as his main source for truth. Now the pastor is to handle all matters of church discipline with the deacons. He is to establish priorities, policies, and plans, as well as courses of action for implementing the church's purpose for ministry and decisions of the church. The pastor is also to administer the Lord's Supper and baptism. The pastor is to exercise Christian care and watchfulness over the sick and shut-ins with the deacons. The pastor is to instruct and review all persons concerning church membership. And there is a lot more. But that is the summation of what we have written out at this time. Now, if you look at this list, that's a lot of responsibility on a pastor's shoulders. Knowing that he answers to God for how he helps and leads his ministry, do not take your pastor for granted. Pray for your pastor. Encourage your pastor. All pastors need your prayer support and encouragement. Now, just as we saw the deacon's wife's requirements are the same as the deacon's, so it is with the pastor's wife and the pastor's family. God has purposed that the life of the pastor be one of integrity for both him and his family. The pastor is a representation of his church. If you want your church to be known for its integrity, it must begin with the pastor. Now we are almost done with our series on what we believe. If you have missed any weeks, I would encourage you to go to our church website and listen to the ones you have missed. They are a great resource in understanding Jesus' design for his church. Now, there are two last points that are in our constitution, and there are many different constitutions, so I think it's really important that we cover them. The first is the church's mission policy. What does your church believe and teach about missions? How important is it to your church to support missionaries around the world? Now, I have yet to preach a message on missions itself because we discuss the importance of supporting our missionaries every month. But I think this would be a good time to consider what missions is and how we can be a faithful steward towards it. Now, second point is the church's music policy. Now, most churches have a music standard. And why is that? What does the Bible say about music? I've taught on this a little bit, but I've not really preached a message on music yet, and I think this would be a good time to consider how God wants his believers to think about and consider music as a part of their lives. Now, after those two thoughts, we're going to be back studying the Gospels through our study of the life of Christ. Well, today I want to finish with this thought. As we have been talking about priorities, what should be the Christian's priorities? We see here we've got three priorities for the Christian. Number one is God. God. And this is your own spiritual journey with the Lord. This will be your time that you come and worship with others in the church, your time at home while you're studying your devotions during the week, the depth that you want to get with God, your relationship with Him. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Now, number two is family. Family. Now, if you're married, this is your spouse. It will be your children as well. If you're still living at home, this is your parents. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." And then number three is ministry. Ministry. Now, this is the ministry you have through your church. This may be the ministry you might be a disciple maker, be discipling people in the church. This is evangelism. This includes loving and caring for your brothers and sisters in the Lord. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So consider these three foundations for your Christian priorities. And they're in order. God is first, number one. Your family is second, number two. And your ministry comes third. Now notice that God is first. In life, we should always be pointing people back to God's word, not an opinion, not a thought, but to what God has to say about life's problems. God must be our foundation. He is the most important foundation. Our spiritual walk with Him is the most important relationship that we will ever have. And when our family identifies a problem, we point them to the Bible. And just as we're working with other people in our ministry as number three, when we run into issues, we run into problems, or people have questions as we're talking to them in our ministry, we point them back to God's word and try to be as specific as possible with scripture if available. Don't just say love Jesus or go to church. That doesn't help. We have to nurture and help people see life answers through what the Bible teaches. This is the truth directly from God. We can't help people just by giving them a quick synopsis or a throwout phrase that we have made heard popular somewhere, like Jesus saves, or even what would Jesus do? What we need to do is open up the Bible instead of even saying to them, "Hey, you should read the Bible," or consider the book of John and just leave it at that. Instead, why don't you open up your Bible to the book of John and show them in the Bible what it has to say. And when our friends or coworkers come to us with a problem, we should pray for them and with them. But we should also take them to scripture and show them what God has to say about their problem. Otherwise, it's just an opinion. And opinions do not change the hearts of people. But God's word does. Now, in our ministry, we need to point people back to God. And you see why God is at our foundation? Because our lives are to be a reflection of God. And if we are afraid to share the truth of Scripture, then we are afraid to show people the truth. Have you thought about that? Are you afraid to show people the truth? Are you afraid to get to know your Bible good enough so that you can take people to different parts of Scripture and share with them the problems that they may be having, the walls that they may be hitting in life because they're not following the Scripture? Or do you just wait by their side as their house is burning down? And wait until they approach you and say, hey, can you help me? We need to be people that see the house burning. And as it's burning, we're reaching out to them and we're pointing them back to Scripture and saying, look, this is what the Bible has to say. And especially in the lives of Christians. There are many Christians today who are not living for the Lord, who have turned in another direction. We need to be comfortable enough with our Bibles and confident enough with them that when people and their houses, when their lives are burning down, we can put our arm around them and say, hey, have you considered what the Bible has to say about this? Don't let people's lives be destroyed around you and not tell them the truth of God's word. The worst thing that can happen is that they don't want to talk to you anymore. But what's better? Not telling them the truth at all? So that they're ignorant? So that they can't get their lives right because they don't know? Or possibly losing them as a friend or family member, but sharing with them what the truth is. God is good. He's going to take care of people. And as we share God's word with other people, God is going to bless His word and help people through His word. But if we don't share it, if we just stand in the midst of other people while their lives burn to the ground, then we are not doing what God has called us to do. We are not sharing His word. We are not helping people to see the truth. While we're waiting around for them to reach out and say, please help, their lives are being lost. We don't need to be afraid because God will give us the strength to overcome our fears and to instead have the peace of God and share the love of Jesus with the world. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't give up on pointing people to the Bible. Let it be real in your own life so that people can see the difference in your life. And when people come to you, or especially for Christians, when you see something in their life that is contrary to what Scripture teaches, open up the Bible and show them the truth. We have this great book called the Bible that is filled with God's truths, and yet we don't tend to know it, and also we're afraid to use it. Don't be afraid of God's truths. If they're important enough for you to follow, they're important enough to share with the world. Let others know about the truth of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, that you give us opportunities to grow and you give us opportunities to know you on a much deeper level, Lord. Lord, help us to be people of your word, that we may know what the Bible has to say and be able to be comfortable enough to share it with others. Lord, help us not to be people who stand amidst the lives of other family members and friends as their lives just burn away and we do nothing. Lord, I pray that we would point people back to the truth, not just say, hey, love God or go to church. But to open up the Bible and say, this is what you're doing, and this is what the Bible has to say about it. Lord, we know that your truth leads us and guides us and can help so many more if we will but follow. Lord, I thank you for this study that we've been doing on the different points of our church leadership and what we believe. I pray, Lord, that we would learn these things and understand them so that we can be a help, not just in this church now, Lord, but in our other churches in the future. And for any of those listening on, Lord God, may these be truths that will help us to be able to encourage and strengthen even our own pastor. I pray, Lord, that congregations today would be praying for their pastors and encouraging their pastors. Lord, as these men go out and work their hardest to be godly men who want to love you and honor you, Lord Jesus, with their lives, I pray that they would not give up. Even in this world, as it continues to get darker, I pray, Lord God, that we would stand firm, that we would preach your truth, and that we would know what it is that we're teaching. Lord, again, thank you for this time that we've had to gather. I pray that this week we would go out and proclaim the truth of your word. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.